Enzymes hold the key to biochemistry. Without them, life-critical chemical reactions couldn't happen fast enough to keep anyone alive. And now we know much more about how they work, we'd quite like to engineer these catalysts to do other important jobs. But to do that, we need to know how they grab hold of their chemical substrates and what changes in shape they temporarily need to adopt to bring about a reaction. Cambridge chemist Michele Vendruscolo has been using nuclear magnetic resonance images of the enzyme lysozyme to model the process.
The problem is to understand how the molecule grabs another molecule and then releases it. This is a problem of, you know, molecular movements. So we need the techniques that are able to characterize the movements, but at a molecular level, typically nanometers. The particular technique that we have used is called nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy, and is based on the properties of the interaction of electromagnetic radiation with the atomic nuclei. In simple terms, this is a technique that enables one to detect how molecules move. And this is the ideal technique for describing, therefore, the set of movements that are needed to capture and release molecules.
Are the proteins, the enzymes, not continuously moving around all the time? So why do you not get a sort of blurry image when you try to see those movements? How do you get them down to a resolution where you can watch them almost like clockwork to see those movements?
You actually get a blurred picture. And so the point is how to disentangle from this average information all the individual components of it. In the case that we have studied, there is a fundamental state, which is called ground state. And then there is another interesting state, which is called intermediate state. And the intermediate state has a much lower probability of being present, but is essential because it's the step that a molecule that is acted upon by enzyme has to go through in order to be released.
So how do you do it? Do you somehow freeze time with the enzyme in one form and look at it, and then freeze time in the other form and look at it? Or do you look at all the forms and then work out what shape it must be in order to produce the mixture of images you see?
It is a model building in the end. So because we have an average information about a population of different structures, but we know that there are different structures. So we use theoretical modeling and computer simulations to build realistic models of these structures. And then we require that the signal that we see is coming out as an average from the models that we generate.
And when you do this, what has this revealed about the behavior of this enzyme system that we didn't have an insight into before?
Well, despite the fact that it's fairly obvious that the molecule, the enzyme has to capture and release its substrate, we simply didn't know their atomic structures. We knew that they ought to be there, but we didn't have a model for that. So what we contributed is in the particular case of an enzyme, it's called lysozyme, we know now the atomic structure of this intermediate state for release. And this is helpful because in the long term, this may lead to a better ability to design enzymes.
Because we're obviously in a position now where we can begin to manipulate proteins. Now, if you understand how they work, then we can make proteins actually do certain chemical reactions that we want them to do that they currently don't exist in nature with the capacity to achieve.
Yes, this is actually a very small component of a much broader area of research, which, as you said, we are starting to become capable of manipulating molecules. And this is an astonishing ability, because the scale at which these processes take place are, you know, typically a billion times smaller than our everyday life experience. So the ability of working over these length scales, I think, is a continuous source of amazement.
Michele Vendruscolo from Cambridge University.